What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, September 25th, 2020. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And we've got a lot to talk about today. And this being a Friday, I'm going to do news for the first half of this hour. Then we're going to open up the phones for your comments and questions. And then in hour number two, the lovely lady Claire will be joining us with her unique perspective on the world. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. Apparently, Dr. Ron Paul has been hospitalized for what are called precautionary reasons after he appeared to have some kind of medical episode during a live discussion on his Liberty Report show. Some viewers speculated it might be a possible stroke. Okay, but apparently Ron Paul just tweeted from the hospital, I am doing fine, and included a photo of him with his thumb up and saying that he's doing okay. So our best wishes are with Ron Paul. And that whatever it was extremely minor. All righty. Now, the FBI analysts thought the agency's handling of the case against Michael Flynn was a nightmare and that some agents wanted a Clinton presidency. Okay. And FBI analysts who acknowledged into the investigation of Flynn were concerned about the agency's conduct, with some speculating that certain agents wanted Hillary Clinton to be president. Well, we already knew that. I mean, just looking at, Peter Strzok's text messages and everything. The FBI has launched an investigation after military ballots cast for Trump are found in a dumpster in Pennsylvania. The president continues to warn about mail-in fraud. Now, they just had a segment on Fox News where they tried to explain away what happened by saying that the envelope for a ballot application and the envelope for the ballot itself looked too much alike, and that these ballots were opened by accident by people who thought they were applications. And once they were out of the envelope, they were considered naked ballots and they were simply discarded. I'm not sure I'm ready to buy that one, but that's the excuse they're putting on out there. It's the official story and they're going to stick with it. Okay, I think we mentioned this briefly, but it's worth another mention. Down in Gregg County, Texas, the commissioner and three others have been arrested in connection with an organized ballot harvesting scheme during the 2018 Democratic primary. Gregg County Commissioner Shannon Brown, Melina Jackson, Charlie Burns, and Dwayne Ward were arrested on charges in connection with ballot harvesting during the 2018 Democrat primary, according to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. A $25,000 bond has been set for each person charged. Election officials became suspicious after Shannon Brown won the primary in March of 2018 by 5 votes after a recount. An unusual number of mail-in ballots were cast in the 2018 primary race for Precinct 4 commissioner in Gregg County. More election fraud, apparently up in Massachusetts. We mentioned this one before, but we're going to sort of collect these all together for everybody to be paying attention to. Democrat officials in Massachusetts destroyed over 1 million ballots from the Senate primary. And the thing is, under Massachusetts law, okay, the ballot images, which are used for counting and for recounts, must be saved for 22 months, and yet they can be found nowhere at all. All righty. Donald Trump says he isn't sure the election can be honest. 2 hours after White House Kayleigh McEnany says he will accept the results of a free and fair election following his refusal to commit to a peaceful transfer of power. Well, he didn't exactly say that. And what he has actually said is he thinks the election is going to go to the Supreme Court, but he will abide by the Supreme Court's decision. All right. Democrats are afraid that mail-in voting could lead to problems. And so Democratic politicians and groups are now beginning to push voters to vote in person or hand deliver their absentee ballots as concerns grow over what a flood of mail-in ballots could mean for the election. So that whole mail-in ballot thing is starting to unravel for everybody. Joe Biden is going to be staying in his basement until next Tuesday's debate. Jill Biden will stump for her husband for the next 5 days. Interestingly enough, one of Biden's talking points, one of his planks on his platform, is a proposed tax on the guns you already own. You either pay or risk confiscation and 10 years in prison. Now, it's not really clear whether he intends to tax you for your guns every single year, but it's just another Democratic attempt to get around the Second Amendment. by saying, you have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. You just have to pay all the licensing fees and the taxes on the ammunition and fill out all the paperwork to simply make it so difficult most people won't bother. However, looking at gun sales this last month, it isn't working here. Florida Attorney General Moody is standing by his investigation into Michael Bloomberg's felon donations. Of course, as we reported earlier in the week, Michael Bloomberg is paying the fines of black and Hispanic felons in Florida to allow them to vote. And it basically amounts to vote buying. Now, nobody has caught any of Bloomberg's people telling these ex-felons, you know, you will vote for Biden in exchange for this money, because that would definitely be hard evidence of vote fraud. But the implication is there that if, you know, Bloomberg, you know, as a Democrat, pays off these debts for these felons, they're going to be feeling very grateful toward him. All righty. Story coming on out of UNS.com. All the chips are on the table. And Joe Biden promised that he was going to make his first choice for the Supreme Court as the first African-American woman justice. However, Biden still refuses to produce a list of black female judges and scholars who he would consider for the now vacant seat. And so what is his problem? And the problem is, of course, that anybody that the Democrats are going to put up for the Supreme Court is probably going to scare the heck out of the voters, who have been looking at recent court decisions, not just from the Supreme Court, but from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And it just seems like it's a free-for-all out there for the rioters, for the fringes of society seem to be moved into the mainstream, and the mainstream is being sent out to pasture, as it were. House Democrats plan to introduce a bill next week that would limit U.S. Supreme Court justices' lifetime appointments to 18 years, a largely symbolic response to the high-stakes battle in Congress over the Supreme Court vacancy left by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The legislation has no chance of passage in the GOP-led Senate, where Republicans are trying to fast-track a successor to Ginsburg and enshrine a conservative majority for a generation. Democrats have accused the GOP of a power grab and argue that the iconic liberal justice's successor should be picked by the next president. But Republicans say it's the president's constitutional prerogative to fill the empty seat, and it absolutely is, until the end of the term, which is in January. But under the proposed Supreme Court Term Limits Act, after a justice serves 18 years on the Supreme Court, they would be allowed to continue serving on a lower court. Now, the legislation would exempt the current justices from term limits. It would also change the appointment process, making it so every president has the opportunity to appoint only two justices during their 4 years in office. A president would nominate a new justice in the first and third year of their presidency. That's going to be a problem, because you're going to wind up with a 4-4 court, you know, a lot more times because of that. Voting advocacy group recorded over 40,000 new voter registrations in the 2 days after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Carolyn DeWitt, president of Rock the Vote, in an interview on CNBC said, "I do think that the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg has galvanized eligible voters, in particular those who understand the role of the Supreme Court and are concerned about the future of civil rights." All right. We're seeing some really bizarre campaign ads this season. Some are very well produced and some are really effective. But apparently, left-wing activists released a public service announcement on Tuesday featuring twerking Atlanta strippers telling black people to get your booty to the polls and vote in the upcoming election. And personally, I did take a look at it. It struck me as just a little bit gross. I basically bailed on it about halfway through. All righty. Apparently, there is a movement in Congress, in the House, if Nancy Pelosi tries to impeach President Trump for appointing a Supreme Court justice, as the Constitution says he has to, they will take steps to remove her as Speaker. Well, whether it's that threat or just the inadvisability of doing it, Pelosi has said she's no longer considering another Trump impeachment. She said, "I don't think he's worth the trouble at this point." After all, the Democrats are going to steal the election and Trump's going to be gone in January. All righty. Trump has launched his America First healthcare plan with an executive order that protects people with pre-existing conditions as he continues to back his court challenge to kill off Obamacare. Now, the Democrats, all of a sudden, who've been stalling on us, now all of a sudden they're in high dudgeon. They're moving forward. They want to prepare a new coronavirus relief bill. They want to restart negotiations. They're beginning to realize that if that coronavirus stimulus doesn't happen, it's going to work against them in November. So Democrats are crafting a $2.4 trillion coronavirus relief package, which will include a second stimulus check, in hopes this will goad Republicans into reopening negotiations stalled since last May. The Democrats' new bill will include enhanced unemployment insurance, direct payments to Americans, funding for the popular Paycheck Protection Program, Small Business Loan Program, and aid to airlines. House Speaker Pelosi has directed Democratic committee chairs to draft the new scaled-back legislation intended to serve as a basis for new talks with the White House. Okay, this story is getting a lot of coverage even in the corporate media. The FBI opened a counterintelligence investigation on the primary source for the dossier author Christopher Steele created, you know, the one that's been completely discredited. And the FBI considered obtaining a warrant to wiretap him all the way back in 2010. They considered him a possible Russian spy, and this was years before the Trump probe. The FBI was also aware of the information about the source, identified elsewhere as Igor Danchenko, by December 2016. This is the most stunning and damning revelation the committee has uncovered, according to Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, who said in a statement after releasing an FBI memo about the dossier source. Okay. Two top Republicans are pushing for FBI and Justice Department investigations into a series of wire transfers that Chinese and Russian business people made to Hunter Biden, the son of Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, the top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, sent a letter Thursday to FBI Director Christopher Wray inquiring whether the Bureau has investigated the wire transfers. Now, just before he went to air, there was a story breaking that confidential documents have been leaked that show Biden, Soros, Clinton, and Nisbet criminal activity in Ukraine. So this is starting to unravel. Not soon enough for my taste, but you know, it's getting there. Justice delayed is justice denied. And it's all about protecting the election for certain candidates here. All right, let's get into the protests and all the rest of that's going on. They had another rough night over there in Louisville. But the polls are definitely turning against Black Lives Matter and Antifa. 44% now oppose versus 39% who approve. This is in a new Associated Press NORC poll. And so more Americans now disapprove of what they're seeing, and this is going to work against the Democrats in the November. Violent clashes broke out in Seattle. Crowds occupied a St. Louis freeway, and New York City demonstrators demand to defund the police as Black Lives Matter supporters take to the streets across the nation for a second night of Breonna Taylor protests. Protesters fought running battles with police on bicycles, blocked off intersections by setting dumpsters ablaze in Seattle last night as the nationwide protest continued for a second night. I think this is probably going to go through the weekend. Okay, pardon me. Two Louisville cops were shot. We've already mentioned that before. They're both out, or at least one of them is now out of the hospital. Was shot by a gunman as the suspect is charged with wanton endangerment, the exact same charge issued against one of the police involved in the Breonna Taylor incident. And he's not being charged with attempted murder despite intentionally firing at the police. Now, the National Police Association is saying it should be attempted murder at an absolute minimum. So, anyway, the Louisville cop who was shot during Breonna Taylor unrest heroically shows up at the roll call one night later. He got a rousing round of applause from his fellow police officers. That takes a lot of guts. I mean, he was basically just hours after being released from the hospital, he shows up for a roll call at the police station. That's one tough cop. So the gentleman who's been arrested for shooting the Louisville officers is named Lorenzo D. Johnson. He's 26 years old. He's been charged with two counts of assault on a police officer and 14 counts of wanton endangerment for allegedly shooting two cops during a Black Lives Matter riot on Wednesday night. I can see, you know, the assault on the police officer. The 14 counts of wanton endangerment probably results from the fact that there was a crowd of people behind the police officers. And remember, wanton endangerment in the first degree carries a prison sentence of 5 years per count. So he could, in theory, be going away for a very, very long time. Now, Trump is accusing Biden of launching an anti-police crusade. Trump went full law and order at his rally last night in Jacksonville, Florida, and basically accused Biden of surrendering to flag burners and rioters. All righty. FBI and Department of Homeland Security officials are saying that extremists pose a violent threat. Yeah, we can see that in Portland, in Louisville. Officials from the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Homeland Security raised concerns at a Senate hearing yesterday about violent threats from extremists across the ideological spectrum. Ken Cuccinelli, the acting deputy secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, described the high lethality of white supremacists in recent years. Now, why is he focused on white supremacists with what we're seeing with our own eyes in Portland and Seattle and Louisville? Now, Mr. Cuccinelli's comments are notable because a current senior official recently alleged in a whistleblower complaint that Homeland Security's leadership played down the threat of white supremacists to align with the Trump White House agenda. Department of Homeland Security is denying the whistleblower's complaint here. Okay, over in Texas, the Dallas City Council sort of went through the motions of defunding the police, but not really. They cut the police overtime budget by $7 million, but most of that money will be redistributed to other department purposes. However, the overall budget of the department was increased in what was seen as a shell game to avoid conflict with Black Lives Matter. The Dallas City Council voted Wednesday to cut the overtime budget for the city's police department by $7 million, but resisted broader calls to defund the department. Okay, over in Louisville, a church opened its doors as a sanctuary for the rioters. The black militants went on in and threatened to beat up the white people and press if they didn't leave. So this was the First Unitarian Church. And it explained to live streamers outside that houses of worship are exempt from the curfew and the church has opened up as a sanctuary house. All righty. Turning to COVID-19, which is still out there. Apparently, Australia, Israel, Europe, and Great Britain are starting to do another lockdown. They're locking down again. They're anticipating the second wave with the onset of winter. New York City is threatening to shut non-essential businesses in neighborhoods where COVID-19 cases are on the rise. This is six specific neighborhoods. Europe's lockdown, according to a German minister, Europe's lockdown will kill more people than COVID-19. This is from Germany's Minister of Economic Cooperation and Development, Gerd Müller. The grim prognosis was made by the German official in an interview with the Handelsblatt Daily. The pandemic has already triggered one of the biggest hunger and poverty crises across the world, Mueller said, and further damage will be done thanks to the measures taken to battle it. We expect an additional 400,000 deaths from malaria and HIV this year on the African continent alone, with 500,000 more will die from tuberculosis. You know, we're seeing that sort of an effect here in the United States of America, where everybody is obsessively focused on COVID-19. And yet, because of the COVID-19 lockdowns, people aren't going to the doctors for other medical issues. And so we're seeing a rise in deaths from things like cancer, tuberculosis, heart attack, various things like that. So, you know, we may get the COVID-19 deaths down, but at the loss of other lives to other causes increasing. Okay, this one really got to me, and also to Claire for obvious reasons here. But apparently, over in Idaho, the police arrested Christians for singing hymns. And the idea was that they were singing without the masks. And so the police said, hands up, don't sing. They arrested three of them. And it really did upset a lot of people. Use a choir, go to jail, I guess. Over in Great Britain, their chief scientific advisor has 600,000 pounds of shares in the vaccine maker contracted by the government. I think there's a conflict of interest. We got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here, and again, a gentle reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network is in the middle of a perpetual fundraiser, and as we saw earlier in this week, Republic Broadcasting is running right on the edge, and we had problems with our antiquated phone system, and we really placement for those two Dixie cups with the wax string tied between them, because it's just not carrying the volume of telephone calls that we need it to. So if you can help out, and we thank you if you can, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. All right, we're talking about the COVID-19, and in this story from Scoopy Web, they're already beginning to backtrack on the coming vaccine and saying that this first corona vaccine will not be a silver bullet. It's unlikely to stop people catching the disease, and its only effect may be to reduce symptoms. Experts advising the government say it may only reduce people's symptoms. They said it may be partially effective and stress caution when it's rolled out. Chief Medical Officer Chris Whitty has set the bar to at 40 to 60% efficiency. So whatever they're rolling out for political gains, For all we know, it's just water in that needle. Okay, over in New York, Big Brother wants more information about you from your doctor. Last month, New York Governor, Andrew Cuomo, ordered healthcare professionals across the state to provide the full residential address and phone number, occupation and employer name, full work address and employer phone number, as well as race and ethnicity for all patients tested for COVID-19. On Monday, he upped the ante. The new order mandates that doctors collect and report whether a patient attends or works in a school, and if so, the name and location of the school. This includes elementary, secondary, post-secondary higher education. It is also critical to list the patient's local address if different from their permanent address. Okay. Healthcare providers must report within 3 hours the price of noncompliance, civil penalties of up to $2,000 per day. All right. Turning to the international news, President Donald Trump is offering help on the India-China border tensions again. We've been down this road before. Trump's new comments came on the heels of India's Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar calling the five-month-long standoff at the line of actual control between India and China unprecedented. Jaishankar said the border tensions were only part of a much larger problem. Britain will join the United States and Canada in imposing new sanctions on Belarus. And the decision was announced by the Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, in the House of Commons just yesterday. Raab attacked Belarusian President Lukashenko as a leader who is a wholesale lack of legitimacy. Raab reiterated the British government position of not accepting the results of last month's presidential election in Belarus. Russia is calling upon the OPCW to release data on the Navalny poisoning, as Germany has provided zero credible evidence. Now, remember, supposedly being poisoned with one of the world's deadliest poisons, Navalny is up and about. You know, whatever it was that knocked him down, he's over it here. So Russia's mission to the OPCW asked Germany to provide all data related to the alleged poisoning of Alexei Navalny and to make it public. After Berlin refused to share any data related to the affair, Moscow sent it to the OPCW instead. Russia has reached out to Germany through the organization, the permanent envoy to the chemical weapons watchdog, Alexander Shulgin, told Russia Today. So, question, this is coming from Unz.com. Are you feeling safer? War of the Worlds pits the U.S. and Israel against pretty much everybody else. Now, our media is currently focused on the upcoming election, coronavirus, fires on the West Coast, and the Black Lives Matter and Antifa unrest. And it's no surprise that some stories are not getting a lot of coverage. Last week, an important vote in the U.N. General Assembly went heavily against the United States. It was regarding a non-binding resolution that sought to suspend all economic sanctions worldwide while the coronavirus cases continue to increase. It called for intensified international cooperation and solidarity to contain, mitigate, and overcome the pandemic. It was a humanitarian gesture to help overwhelmed governments and healthcare systems cope with the pandemic by having a free hand to import food and medicine. This is a little bit of embarrassment. After all the ballyhoo about their supply to Kiev, you'd think at least they work. A U.S.-made Javelin anti-tank missile malfunctioned during a major military exercise in the presence of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The commander of the Ukrainian Armed Forces Northern Command, Major General Valery Zaluzhny, confirmed the incident on local media. The Javelin didn't work. The missile didn't fly out. Maybe it was a mistake by the operator. Maybe it was something else. We're going to have to figure it out. All right, we're going to take ourselves another break for commercials, and we'll be back with the economic news and phone calls. We're going to open the phone line after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Let's talk about the economy for a bit. U.S. mortgage purchase applications have surged 13.41%. Refi apps are surging 20.92%. So people are trying to take advantage of the downturn in the interest rates. Just don't get stuck in one of those variable rate mortgages, because you will pay for it later on here. Wayne Dupree is out there saying our welfare state worked for a while, but no longer. It feels like America is sliding toward destruction. And he says the welfare state was not a failure for the Democrats. It has achieved everything they wanted up until now. Instead of owning slaves on the plantations, they came up with a plan to deceive blacks. By giving them a few crumbs from birth to death, they also made them dependent on the Democrats. So the black vote was assured election after election after election, while the ghetto plantations never got better, only worse. Thankfully, a number of black voters are waking up, not to the woke generation, but to the reality of what the Democrats want from them. They also see mostly white Antifa activists destroying their neighborhoods and small businesses. Antifa and Black Lives Matter also use brainwashed blacks from those Democrat ghettos to loot and to kill each other, and educated blacks have taken notice. All righty. The Boston Federal Reserve is very worried about the labor market. They ought to be here. Another little article from Investment Watch blog. The silent exodus nobody sees, leaving work forever. there are people who have lost their jobs during this COVID-induced economic downturn who have probably found other ways to get by, and they may never go back to their jobs again. Stock market looks to be very chaotic here, and the advice that's coming again from Investment Watch blog is to buy the dip in gold and silver. We're also getting assurances from Wall Street that the current quantitative easing is not inflationary. And if you believe that, I have some of Saddam's nuclear weapons to sell you. All right, we're going to take a phone call now. David in Boston, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? David, are you there? Hello, Michael? David? There you are.
Can you
okay.
hear me?
I can hear you now. You're on the air.
Yeah, Michael, when I called yesterday, I was just getting to the line there instead of waiting for Trump to drain the swamp, that the American people could always swamp the drain. All our blood and treasure is being drained out in Washington, D.C. We could swamp the drain instead of waiting. But anyways, I was attacked. I was assaulted, Mike, by, you probably said something was wrong, but I was assaulted by some self-appointed face diaper police woman. I was on the grounds of a hospital. Actually, Mike, I was on the grounds of Milton Hospital, right? And George Bush's birthplace isn't too far away from Milton Hospital. And But I was outside and I was on a bench on the grounds of a hospital. This lady came up to me and I guess she had a problem with me not wearing a face diaper, even when I was outside. I guess she did something in the hospital. I found out she wasn't a doctor, but nobody knew exactly. She had like a hospital ID, but I was just out, out on a bench outside on the grounds and everything. Mm-hmm. And, but anyways, Mike, So, Mike, you know what's even worse than a white supremacist? I think it's what I am, Mike. I wanna fess up. I'm even worse than a white supremacist. I'm a white polemicist. Okay. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she lied in life, and now she's lying in death. You know, I call her Ruth Bader Meinhof. But Mike, I saw the movie RBG. She denied, here's where my polemic comes in here a little bit, but she denied that the fetus or the unborn baby was a baby. It wasn't a baby until after it was born. Now, Mike, to me, that's a little polemicism here. That's as ridiculous as saying food is not food until you eat it. Okay. That's a good analogy, isn't it? It's just as ridiculous as saying denying that food is food until you eat it and everything. So, but Mike, something, even this aggressive lady that assaulted me, what I notice up here, this Boston, it's not like other parts of the country. I've been all over the country, Mike, except for Hawaii. And I lived in Alaska for years and everything. And I lived in New York City and everything before that. But, Mike, up here in Boston, it's almost like Sharia law or something. If you walk around Boston and everything, almost all the women, they're either by themselves or they're with other women. So what that tells me, when I think logically, what that tells me is, and I know this isn't the case all over the country, out in the countryside and everything, but what that tells me is these women, they've abandoned their fathers, they've abandoned their husbands, they've abandoned their sons. It's unbelievable. It's like de facto Sharia law. They're either by themselves or with other women. We're having a beautiful day back here, and there's some, because of the COVID-19, there's some outdoor dining and everything. But the women are just dining between themselves, and the men are either by themselves with other men and everything. And but you know what I We'll see, Mike. I go down very often to church on Sunday. Down there's a Mennonite community in Mendon, Massachusetts, and it's about an hour's train ride. And I go down there, and I don't agree with them 100% on everything and so on and so forth, but I go down there because it's so refreshing to just see family life, to see the wonderful relationship that the husbands and wives have with each other and their wonderful children and everything. It's just so so refreshing. You know, it's almost like going back in time. And, you know, everybody loves each other. The children love their parents. The husbands love their wives. The wives love their husbands. They all love each other. And but compared to this, you know, compared to all the state up here, but like I say, maybe I'll close with this because you got wonderful callers, Mike. I love listening to them. But I don't know if I ever told you this. I don't think I did. But I went to a gender studies seminar over in Harvard a few years ago. And there was this Jewish lesbian, and she had her goy girl with her, her goy toy or whatever. And it was like an amphitheater type thing. They were down, the seats, you know, ascended and everything like an amphitheater. And I was like the only, like, older guy in there. But this Jewish lesbian was telling these young, impressionable young ladies, called Harvard College students and everything, that our founding fathers would just as sooner take their cat-of-nine-tails lash to their wives as to their black African slaves, that, you know, they just whip their wives right along with their block. This is what, believe it or not, what she was saying. I look at these impressionable young white girls. I couldn't take it anymore, Mike. I finally stood up and I said, hey, with all due respect, I have to disagree. I turned to the young ladies. I says, if you want to prove that this is not true, just read the love letters between John Adams and Abigail Adams.
I was about to bring up Abigail Adams. You know, if John had tried to hit her, she would have flattened him.
Huh?
I said if John Adams had tried to hit Abigail, she would have flattened him.
Yeah, right. And of course, he was one of our founding fathers that was against slavery and didn't own any slaves and everything. Mm-hmm. And you know what this Jewish lesbian did? She terminated the whole class. She picked up her papers. She said, this is dismissed. And she walked out in a huff. And everything, and but can you imagine? No wonder these young college girls are so full of hate, and they're aligning themselves with Black Lives Matter and everything. If they actually believe that our founding fathers would sooner whip their wives, take the cat of nine to their wives, they'd sooner take it to their wives as to their black African slaves, you know. My recommendation, Mike, and I'll get off, but. Anybody that can hear my voice out across the country, you're absolutely nuts. If you raise your children the right way, and the last thing you want to do is send them off to these colleges like around Boston, Harvard, and MIT, and all these Ivy League colleges. It's the worst thing you can do. So I guess, Mike, I've talked enough, Mike, and that's what happened yesterday. I was so rudely interrupted. And finally, you know, I hadn't been up at the Milton Hospital for a while because of COVID-19, but the chief of security came out, and he knows me. I'm good friends with him, and as soon as he saw me, he said, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but I know it's all good with David. I know. I said, I was just talking on the phone, Les. His name is Les. I said, I was just talking on the phone, Les, and she started assaulting me because I wasn't wearing a face diaper while I talked on the phone and everything. And so then I went into the cafeteria with Les, the chief of the security and everything, and had supper with him and everything, you know. And but anyways, okay, Mike, I'm looking forward to listening to mild-mannered Miles and passionate Tom, terrible Tom from Florida and everything.
Okay.
And then I hope Dustin doesn't create a big guest up again today, but it's all in good fun anyways.
All right. Well, listen, David, I'm going to let you go now here because the phone lines are loading up, and I'm going to try and clear all these calls before the Lady Claire joins us. Let's go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Wow. Listen, I know we don't have a lot of time and all that, Mike, but I'm going to tell you the reasons why I'm going to vote for Trump. Not because I love the guy, because he's disappointed me, but I want to start out by saying that politics is the art of the possible. I'm sure there's some people out there that may have heard that before, but you can only get things done that are possible to be done. And yeah. when you think back to 2016, when the Democrat, you know, all the major power centers were aligned against Trump. The media,
yes.
Certainly, the banks, the media, the military-industrial complex, the DNC, the RNC, for that matter, virtually all the secret police, as we all know now, were heavily involved. The FBI, the CIA, the DOJ. All these people were aligned against Trump, and you know what? The guy's imperfect, but for the first time in years, we got somebody that wasn't thrust down our throats by the power centers. They did
yes.
everything they could to stop it. And you know, we're never going to get this chance again. And by the way, this program itself will be completely history if Biden wins. They will not
yes.
tolerate this at all. So that's one of the first things. For all the people who call up about that, you won't even have a forum to talk about it here. But if other things he's accomplished, yeah, you know, he hasn't gotten us into new wars. That's a big one. That's the first in a long time. Obama got us in a couple. Bush certainly got us in a couple. But Trump has not gotten, and it's cost him. You know, the only time he ever got acclamation from the press is when he bombed Syria. But we haven't gone into Iran. We're downsizing Syria. We downsized Iraq. We downsized Afghanistan. It's going away rather than heating up. I disagree with other things, but the other thing is, for the first time in my lifetime, I'm 68. I'm your age. There's no classes. In workplaces and in schools, at least it's starting to roll back. We're telling people that we are the devil, the Caucasians, that we're the devil. I'm saying that as the father of a mixed kid and how artfully this has been done without demonizing anybody on the other side, right? But just get rid of that. That's a huge advance just right there. And at least immigration is being talked about. It never was talked about before. There's something to show for it. And we'll never have this again because, you know what, the Democrats and the powers that be, they don't want us populists. That means the people want him. They don't want
him. Yeah.
They want what they want. They want who they want, Mike.
They want to kill off populism.
That's exactly right. That's what they're trying to do. They don't want this ever to happen again where somebody could be voted in that they didn't control. And they're going to do everything they can to stop it. They don't want this to be decided at the polls. They want it to be decided in the courts and on the street with rioters. And they're pulling out all the stops to make sure that that happens. Oh, the media, mostly peaceful. Oh, my God. Everything is slanted against against. Everything is turned topsy-turvy, you know. I mean, the guy that shot the cops in Louisville, you know, this guy doesn't get an attempted murder thing, but Kyle Rittenhouse does. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And so it's all flipped. You all know where in the final analysis where all this is coming from. It's coming from the font of all evil, the banks, the people who can print money out of nothing.
Yes.
And, of course, we have people like Bloomberg, another one of their fellow travelers, by, you know, bailing out all the felons and making sure that all the felons and the criminals can vote for the Democrats. And LeBron James doing the same thing. It's completely stacked. And so, you know what? I'll take this guy with all his flaws and his ridiculous texts and tweets because, you know what? At least we put him in. It wasn't the FBI.
Yes.
It wasn't the banks or the Jews or whatever. although the Jews helped on that one too. They always played both sides. But it wasn't the secret police. We elected the guy, and we'll never have that again if he goes out. So that's it. And there might even be some accountability. Maybe. God forbid there be accountability here. It will never happen. It will never happen if he doesn't get reelected.
All right. Well, thank you for the phone call, Peter. We're going to let you go. We're going to take four more phone calls. Then we're going to close the lines for the lovely lady Claire. So let's go to Sammy in Las Vegas. Hello, Sammy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I called in. Can you imagine how divided America is right now? I'm sure Aleister Crowley and George Orwell are dancing in their graves. Remember Orwell said in 1984, we'll have them fighting about things that mean absolutely nothing, of absolutely no importance?
Yes.
Exactly what we're doing right now. We're actually fighting each other over stupid masks. I mean, if you don't want to wear a mask, you don't want to wear a mask. I don't like to wear a mask, but when I go to the store, I'm in there for 10 minutes maybe. I put the damn thing on just to be polite.
Yes.
Do you understand?
I understand.
And look how divided even we are on alternative radio, where we're supposed to be on the same side. This is all planned. I think Trump was put in to divide us even more, to bring on the Civil War. I mean, a Civil War is coming, and that's exactly what they want, to depopulate us. You understand?
I understand.
And look how phony everything is. Judge Kavanaugh, for example, he wrote the Patriot Act before the buildings even came down. But when we're having his hearing, what are we fighting over? Nobody even mentions the Patriot Act and all the stuff they've done behind the scenes. We're fighting over did he or did he not dry hump some girl when he was 16.
Yes.
And who was the lady accusing him? She works for the CIA. Can you see how this is playing out for them?
Yep.
And look at the attorney in Florida that gave Jerry Epstein such a sweetheart deal.
Yep.
Did Trump punish him? No, he promoted him. He put him in charge of the Secretary of Labor. You see how we're being divided? I think Trump
Absolutely.
Was put in just to divide the country and got us going at each other's throat. You know, the guy in Tennessee and Justin, they're at each other's throat. I guarantee you that they're both probably very nice guys. You would enjoy to sit down and have a drink with one of them. You understand?
Yes, absolutely.
God, see how they have us fighting over something that's absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And believe me, we're screwed, Mike. Both parties are the two heads of the same coin. You can look back into the 1930s. They printed a coin in Germany. One side had the swastika. The other side had the Star of David.
Yes, we've had photos of that coin on the website many times.
And this goes back, Mike, this goes back 1,000 years, if not longer, 2,000 years. This, Thomas Jefferson said, I fear for our country because God is just. And I think that's one of the most real things that's ever came out of both sides. And one more thing. Look at this with Bill Gates. Everybody, you know it because you're a researcher, and I guarantee most of the people that listen to RBN knows that the Internet was created by DARPA.
Yes.
the secret military that does their job is to design that stuff.
Yeah, but it got away from them.
They give it to Bill Gates, who is a eugenicist, and he's never had any computer training at all. He dropped out of college. Oh, he invented it in his... And then they put out his propaganda. Oh, he
didn't. Actually, he bought DOS from another programmer.
Yeah. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We are... Mike, I guarantee you a civil war is coming. And
yes.
This is exactly what
I fear that you're right.
Donald Trump is pushing the civil war. The Democrats are pushing the civil war. We're screwed, brother.
Yeah, we are.
Claire, I said, honey, I love you guys.
Okay, well, she's wearing her headset here right now. We're going to take three more phone calls, get through station identification, and then Lady Claire will be on the microphone here. Miles in Maine, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. Boy, you know, that guy was really out of step that was just on here. He sounded a lot like Chance, but, you know, he was just so wrong because everybody knows, especially the Democratic Party, that Al Gore invented the Internet.
Absolutely. You know, it's a bunch of tubes.
And that was just one of his accomplishments. Love Story.
Yes.
The light bulb.
Yeah.
You know, Al Gore did it all. And he certainly cast the deciding vote for GATT and NAFTA, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just want to tell you, Michael, you made your Rivero Rangers proud once again because Chance was talking yesterday, and he really sounded as if he was ready to squelch our First Amendment. And I just want to run this by you, Michael. What if this was the convention in Philadelphia, and they said, now, you know, we might make one of yous mad, and you might have a view we don't like, so why don't we just not talk about it?
I don't think that would have been a very good idea. In fact, the reason it took so long between 1776 and the actual signing of the Constitution was because they did argue about it a lot, and there was some hostility. In fact, I seem to remember a story from the early part of the country where one legislator actually went after another legislator with a pair of fire tongs.
Well,
beat him over the head.
Let's not forget Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. But, you know,
true.
Such is the contest of freedom, right, Michael?
Yes.
And I was just so proud of you because you made your Rivero Rangers so absolutely proud. And, you know, a lot of these shills that call in, these shills need to take a pill because they call in and they don't understand that you know who they are and most of us know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing we got to be on guard. But Peter's call today again, awesome. Man, Peter's, you know, awesome. And
yes.
I used to love it when we'd hear Peter and then not long after that call would come in, you would hear John from Barbados. And, man, are we missing him.
Okay.
But keep up the great work, Michael, and thanks for being there.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the kind words here. We're going to take a break for station identification. We have two more calls to go and then the lovely Lady Claire.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.